Bibles, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew, first book of the New Testament. This is the second of the Gospels that I will preach. We've gone through John, and so we'll go through Matthew. It might take me a year or so, but I'm going to cover more material today than I will normally because we have the genealogies. But remember this, I want you to understand this. You'll hear this terminology. I want you to understand this terminology. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so what that means is they are the books that tell you who Jesus is and what he came to do and what he did. Okay? So I want you to understand this, and I'm probably going to get on your nerves eventually. I've recently been hearing this. I heard a newscaster say what the gospel was. Now, I mean, you could be a saved newscaster, but this person obviously wasn't. They were talking about helping others and giving food to others, and they said, that's the gospel. That's not the gospel. Let me tell you what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. That's what that word means. The good news is addressing our bad news. You don't have good news without bad news. What's the bad news? Every single person in this room, you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our issue. There's nothing you can do to remove your sin yourself. You can't be gooder. You can't overcome your bad with good. It doesn't erase your sin. The question for all religions of the world is, how are you going to get rid of your sin? All religions of the world have this same solution, just be good, except for the Bible. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So the gospel, I want you to understand this. The gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us who Jesus is, what he came to do, what he did, and how to be made right with him. The good news is this, that every one of us in this room, we have fallen short, we've sinned. The only way to be made right with God, the only way to have your sins removed is somebody has to take your place. The only one that qualifies is Jesus Christ. That's the good news. The good news is by faith and faith alone, you completely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You completely believe and understand that he is God, in that he went to the cross, took your punishment, he died, and he rose again 3 days later. That's the gospel. So for some of you, just mark this in your head, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4 are probably the most succinct summary of the gospel in all of Scripture. And so, but I love the more lengthy perspective. So when we talk about the gospels, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We talk about the gospel, it's the good news. As a result of people being saved, we will serve and honor the Lord. That's a result of the gospel, but it's not the gospel. You're going to hear, I've heard just in recent weeks, somebody says, they use the word gospel, and they have no clue what it is. I'm telling you, I want you to just, you can do this, and people will wonder. Ask people, do you know what the gospel is? Number one answer I get is singing. That's the number one answer. I want you to know what the gospel is. It's the gospel. It's in summary, it's the death, Jesus taking the punishment. It's the burial, he died, and it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can reconcile us with God, because your sins must be punished. If you die in your sin, you must take that punishment. You leave God no choice. Someone just recently said that somebody told them that, you know, they asked him, does God love me? And they said, yes. And they said, phew, I'm glad, because a loving God would never send me to hell. Understand this, because they're ignoring his justice. See, God must be just. He doesn't want to send you to hell, he doesn't. But he must be just. You understand that? And he can't ignore his justice because of love. But he loved us so much that he sent his only son that he would die for us. That's the gospel. I want you to be excited about it. I want you to be jaded by it. I want you to be refreshed by it. I want you to be... The world doesn't know. People outside here, they don't know. Just knock on any door, ask your waiter, ask your waitress, ask somebody. They don't know. If they do know, it's a shock. But that's the privilege. But this morning we get to read Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read first the genealogies. I want you to hang in there. Look at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read through verse 17, and then I'm going to talk about that briefly. The text of my message really this morning is going to be 18 through 25, but I don't want to ignore this great genealogy. Now, the genealogies that we're going to read here, genealogies. Brooke, do you know what a genealogy is? I didn't think so. So, of course, Caleb does, but genealogies is this. You know who your grandma is? You do? That would be, you know who your grandpa is? What about great grandpa? What are we doing at home? And when we finish here today, you're going to find out who your great-grandpa is, okay? You know who the greatest grandpa is going to be? Right here, you're looking at him, October 26th, but I haven't mentioned that to you before. But that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about your history of who you're related to, right? And the Bible promised that Jesus would be both of the seed of Abraham and of the seed of David. And Matthew outlines that very clearly. And so let's just read these 17 verses, and I'll just make a few comments, and then I'll get into the text that I want to focus on this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says this, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren." Let me just pause here real quick. You're going to see these Old Testament names a little different in the New Testament. Why is that? Because it's the Greek of the Old Testament names transliterated into English. Same people. It'd be like if you translated my name from Spanish to English, it wouldn't necessarily be S-T-E-V-E. Right? So that's all that's happening there. Same people. You can go back and search those. It's an honest translation, transliteration. So now let's just look at verse 2. "Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab or Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias or Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begat Abiah. And Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Josaphat. And Josaphat begat Joram. And Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Jotham. And Jotham begat Achaz. And Achaz Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Sathaliel, and Sathaliel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azar. And Azar begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achan, and Achan begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the son of Mary, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Matthew, he lays out this very specifically. Matthew, so if you want to think about this, I kind of agree with this. It's just an overall perspective of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was written with a Jewish focus. Okay, so we see this is very important. I read through those way too quickly. I'm not a Jew, but I do love the evidence. I can always go back to the evidence. Is Jesus the son of David? Is Jesus from the line of Abraham? Absolutely, he is. And so he's writing because he is wanting the Jewish people to know this is the Messiah. That word means promised one. This is the one that we've been talking about for 4,000 years. From the time of Adam, Genesis 3:15 talked about the virgin birth. From the time of Adam, their salvation was the same as yours and mine. It was looking forward to the cross. And when's the Messiah going to be here? How would they know? John the Baptist was a critical part of that, right? So they've been looking for the Messiah. It was written from a Jewish perspective. There's over 50 references in Matthew from the Old Testament. Matthew is likely the first gospel account to be written, first of the four gospels. I love this because how many of you watched The Chosen? You know, I love this if I said, if you haven't watched The Chosen, you should watch The Chosen. It's good. It's still done by man, but it's the best cinematic production I've seen on the life of Jesus, right? Not perfect, but I think it's excellent. So if we had Sunday school, I'd say, what do you know about Matthew? You'd go, he's autistic. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, right? But it's kind of interesting in The Chosen, right? They kind of represent Matthew. But Matthew, because Matthew is very particular. God used the personality of this man that when he wrote the very particular things God wanted, it was the very words of God. So God's so amazing, he takes the very personality. But so Matthew, it's probably one of the first. It's focused on Christ as King, the Messiah, the promised one. The genealogies, now you'll see that it really lays it out. I love the Bible. What are we trying to accomplish here? Look at verse 1. That Jesus Christ is the son of David. That Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham. Now I just want to note just a few people. Because I love when God uses scallywags, right? You know what a scallywag is? What's a scallywag? I'm decoding me. It's like you're what's a scallywag? It's in Pirates of the Caribbean, right? And so a scallywag, kind of mischievous. It's this. It's I want to tell you this. I love this. I'm nothing and you're nothing. We struggle with that, don't we? We struggle looking in the mirror and going, you are nothing. Everything about me is defined by Christ. But what I love is even in the line of Christ, the Bible doesn't hide that. And here's the message I get. I love this that says this. I don't know what your past was. Jesus can take your life over and he can make your future glorious for his sake. I want you to know this. Too many times we let our past define us, we let it cripple us, we let it destroy us, and we can never get over our past. Jesus got over your past if you'll only believe. Do you love this? I mean, look at this, if you'll see this. Look at verse 3. And Judah begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. These were twins. The Bible is rated PG-13 in some places. This was the daughter-in-law of Judah. You go back and read the story. The Bible doesn't hide anything. Judah didn't do what he said he was going to do. And so she played the role of a harlot. Judah went into the harlot, his daughter-in-law, unbeknownst. It must be really dark in Israel, I'm just telling you. Jacob, he married the wrong woman, right? I'm thinking it ain't that dark, but anyway, it must be. So he goes into Tamar, and she has twins. Let me just tell you, it's a horrible circumstance, is it not? But God brought good out of it. You and I, we have horrible circumstances in our life, but I want to tell you this, you need to trust in the Lord and do not let your past beat you up. I love this, Rahab. Boaz's mother. Man, she became an awesome mom. She really did. Boaz's mom. And she was previously a harlot. And if you understand the Jews, hey, no, you're dirty forever, but not in Christ. And he was an awesome man. He was part of the line of Christ. And then Ruth, Boaz's wife. You see, what I loved is it looks like Rahab influenced Boaz and says this, when you're forgiven and you're a believer in Christ, all is new. And Ruth was a Gentile. But she was born again. She knew the Lord. Boaz married Ruth. And then I love this. Do you look at this? Look at David. David would be considered the pinnacle king of Israel. But look at verse 6. God's making sure you know this. He says, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Urias. God's just reminding us there. He doesn't sugarcoat it. Solomon, his mama was Bathsheba. I mean, if you know a little of the Bible, when you hear Bathsheba, you're like, not good. God brought out good through Solomon, through the line of Christ. I want you to be encouraged. Now, I want you to tell you this. You need to be in the Bible. You need to submit to the Lord. But if you're born again, do not let your past cripple you. Just the genealogies in that alone are just glorious. God uses nobodies. And I do love that song, the song Nobody. You go listen to the song Nobody. It's pretty good. I'm not going to try to sing it for you here today. But now let's read verses 18 through 25, and that's really where my message comes from, and it's Jesus equals salvation. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying," this is in Isaiah 7:14, if you want to make a note, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Tell the message again, Jesus is salvation. There's just five simple things. You know, if you've been a Christian for very long, I don't think I'm going to teach you anything new this morning. My intent, generally, when I preach, is not to show you something new. That would be a mistake. What we need to be excited about is truth, not something new. But I will tell you this, we should be excited about what we're going to share today, because I want to tell you, what I'm going to share with you today, 99% of people that I meet don't know it. I want to show you just two things. I've got 5 points, and I'm going to show you two right away. And so, we're 40% through already. Amen. And so the first two, I just want to tell you this, Mary was a wonderful woman. I want you to look at Luke chapter 1. I want to just show you the story of Mary. I spend a lot of my life making sure everybody knows that Mary was a sinner, and I'm going to spend a little time of that this morning. But I want to be disciplined. I want to just look at this wonderful woman. But as we look at this wonderful woman, I do want you to know this. Mary was a sinner. Amen. To claim otherwise is blasphemy. Amen. We need to love people that believe that error, because they've been taught that error since they were a baby. But we need to help them understand the scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including Mary. But Jesus was born of a virgin, so she was a choice vessel of the Lord. I believe her faith was already in the baby she was going to have. I believe she was a believer in the Messiah to come. She just had no idea that it was going to be her that would bring forth this child. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, I'll read this, but it's just a glorious story. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was already pregnant with John the Baptist, verse 26. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and in the sixth month, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, that was Jesus' hometown, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Understand, Mary was likely a young teenager. The ladies would enter into young adulthood at 12, men at 13. And that's at least what has been the practice for centuries, whether it was in the first century. We're just taking what's been for centuries. She's probably very young. You know, just young teenager. They got married young. And she's just puzzled by this. But look at her response. I love her response. Verse 38, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You got to understand the times. If you were to get pregnant outside of marriage at this time, one, that was worthy to be stoned, to be killed, to be executed. God took it so seriously that she would have a stigma on her for the rest of her life. Because who's going to believe that she was a virgin and got pregnant? But that's exactly what happened. She submitted and she responded to the Lord, and she was a wonderful woman, but I want you to understand this. It says this in Psalm 51, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Every single person, you were born a sinner. That's what the Bible says. Not too difficult to grasp. You know, we've talked about it before. Two sinners make a sinner. Right? You were born in sin. You sin because you're a sinner. Those are some tough things to understand, but you sin because you want to. Understand that as well. Mary was a sinner. You see, understand this, there are many groups that will teach that Mary wasn't a sinner, because here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. Jesus couldn't be a sinner, right? Because if Jesus was a sinner, then Jesus couldn't be my substitute. He couldn't be your substitute. So voila! We make up stuff and say Mary was without sin. I love this. I'll say, what about a grandma? What about a great-grandma? What about a I tell them this. I'll say, I know Mary's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma. Her name is Eve. And she was a sinner. And everybody after Eve was a sinner. You see, but there's a little bit of truth buried in this thought that says, Mary must not be a sinner because Jesus couldn't be a sinner. Ah, do you love the Bible? The Bible teaches so clearly. Listen, I just want you to listen to this. Look, the Bible says this, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Who sinned first? Eve did. I just remind you, all our problems go back to women. just kidding. I say that for our friends from Phoenix, so they're like, I'm never coming back. And but here's what the Bible says. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression, but she was deceived. It was still sin. But see, there's a difference between sin of deceit. It's still sin. She was in the transgression. But Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Adam was the head of the wife. And God will hold you, husband, you, dad, more accountable for how you lead your home.
That's right.
You didn't get a chance to tell God what you wanted to do. You're a man. You have responsibilities that will make you more accountable. Adam was more accountable. And because of Adam, sin passed upon all men. He knew. Do you ever wonder this? It's in Exodus, it's in Deuteronomy, it's in other passages in the Bible where it says the sins of the father will be passed to the second, the third, and the fourth generation. I want you to understand this. Here's why Mary had to be born of a virgin. And I'll tell you this. You go out to eat today and you ask them. Say, hey, just have a question for you. Do you know why Mary had to have Jesus as a virgin? I'll give you $25 tonight if you have one person that'll answer your... So that'll maybe $50. I gave this kid $100 when I mentioned his name one time, so I'll give you 50. I'll give you $50 if you ask somebody and they know the answer. No, I'm talking that you don't know. Hey, Marissa. No, that doesn't count. I want you to ask somebody that you don't know, that you're just trying to bring up the gospel in some way. You see, it's a glorious truth. Then you get to tell them about Jesus, because Jesus couldn't have sin. Because if Jesus had sin, he could not take my place. And he could not take your place. And the sin passes from the men. It passes from the fathers. And Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And Mary was a sinner just like you and me. Joseph is the one that started the memes with husbands. Juan, you put out some memes out there. Trish, I want to like it on Facebook, but I'm smarter than that. I mean, Juan, what was your latest meme? It was something like, about an argument. There's only one person that's right in the argument, and the other person's the husband. And, you know, Juan puts out these memes out there, and I'm like, whoa, Joseph started that one. Mary was a sinner, but she loved Jesus. You understand that? You see, we begin to make up stuff. Then what happens is this. Well, if Mary's sinless, let's bow down and worship her. Because I want to tell you this. You should bow down and worship the sinless one. You should bow down and worship Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's worthy. And so Mary is not worthy of worship because she's just one of us. She was used of the Lord greatly. She was favored among women, but she was still a sinner. I want you not to just take that for granted. I want you to understand, what a way to start a conversation. People do not know. Why is it that Mary, I'm telling you, when I ask people this, why do you think Mary had to be a virgin? Or just ask them this. Why do you think Jesus had to be born of a virgin? Number one answer I get. So God could display his wonder and greatness. Just have a good time, because people are like, wrong. They're like, you know, just have a good time with people. And you say, you want to tell you why? And then they say yes. They give you permission. And then tip them well, okay? Tip them well. And because you just do that. They'll remember. I'm going to tell you this. I've seen it. I go to the same restaurants many times with certain guys I meet with regularly. And I can tell the waitresses, no, we tip them well. Just because if you get like a $10 meal, well, 20%, don't leave them $2. I'm just telling you, you should always give a waiter at least $5. And then tell them about Jesus. Give them $10, they might listen. You think I'm crazy? They'll see something different about you. I've talked to waiters and waitresses. You know what they say their worst day is? Sunday. It ought not to be. Anyway, I want you to understand this. Mary was a wonderful woman, but she was a sinner. Jesus had to be born of a virgin because he couldn't be a sinner. If Jesus was born a sinner, I've just wasted your time this morning. I want you to understand that's something to be excited about. That's something to know. That's something to declare. That's something that'll lead you to the gospel. And nobody knows. Why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin? Just ask it. $50 tonight, I will gladly give it. Somebody you don't know, that is, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay. You got to come back to church tonight. So it's this, because I love it. I love now who you're going to ask. Yeah, I'm getting set up here, right? I want you to see this. Joseph was a wonderful man. You understand this? That when they were espoused to be married, it's different than the way you do it. And so Jake and Macy, your most recent couple that's gotten married, loved your vows. You know, it so represented their personalities. Jake was succinct and to the points. And Macy's went on. No, I just kidding. It was awesome. Both of them were awesome. But it just was your personality. It's good. I couldn't do a short vow either, right? Couldn't do a short vow either. I told the first time I ever went out to eat with Jake and Macy, I said, Deb, I met somebody that can give me my run for my money. And it was good. It's all good. Jake and Macy did their vows at their wedding day. You know when they do their vows in Jewish tradition? When they got engaged. Then the husband would go and he would begin to prepare his home. And they were They had all the responsibilities except for the physical. It kind of be the motivation for the husband. You know, it's like, well, Joseph, you're really working in that house, aren't you? You know, 24 hours a day. And so, but he was a wonderful guy. I want you to understand this. When he finds out that Mary's pregnant, and she tells this story, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be in Joseph's shoes. His whole reputation would be gone. Do you know they called Jesus born of fornication in John chapter 8? This was 30-something years after he was born, and they knew it, and they never forgot it. And they said, we be not born of fornication. They had Jesus labeled as an illegitimate child. I'm going to tell you this, there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. Amen. Understand this? So that's the world's terminology. But they're all of God because God gives life. So that's not, I just want you to know that. But it was a stigma they put on Jesus. Joseph, it's kind of interesting. Let's go back to Luke real quick. And I'm going to move on it. And I want you to go back to Luke. This is so fun. So this is my little theory. I just throw out theories so you guys can always go, man, I don't agree with anything he says. I just wonder, because I couldn't imagine what it would be to be Joseph. So look at verse 38. We read verse 38, right? We read verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. And it said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now look at verse 39. Can't tell all the timing, but it said, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. So Mary is in Nazareth, and she goes down to where her cousin Elizabeth is in Jerusalem with haste. And I want you to understand this. I'm sure she said, hey, Joseph, we need to talk. Hey, I'm pregnant. Couldn't text her. Couldn't text him, right? I mean, that's something I would text, right? Hey, just wanted you to know. But face to face, I'm pregnant. And what you're going to see is, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1. This is kind of, if you allow me to put it together. It says, look at verse 19. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, but he was kind. Because he could have had her stoned. You understand this? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I don't know this, but did Joseph say, I need some time, I need some space. This is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And then Mary goes to haste to see her cousin. I don't know. I don't know all the timing, right? Did Joseph get the dream when Mary's gone? Joseph's getting ready. He's trying to, you know, his whole mind's spinning. There's no evidence. Hey, mom and dad. You know, Joseph was feverishly building the house, and I was like, hey, how come you're not building the house anymore? But he gets this news. It's a man of character. You see, life doesn't always go the way you and I want, does it? Joseph was given this crazy story that Mary, who had not known a man, she's pregnant. And Joseph, look at this. I want you just to read the story with me. Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, he's like, I'm not gonna have her stoned. I want to put her away privately. He's just thinking, my life is ruined. Because you understand this, though they hadn't consummated the marriage physically, they were considered married. It would be a divorce. The stigma would stick with Joseph for the rest of his life. But boy, he loved Mary. He probably thought, she's nuts. She is cuckoo. You know what I mean? She just, I don't know what he thought. That's going to be an interesting conversation, right? Hey, Joseph, what was going on in your mind? Well, I'm perfect now. And so I don't know. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. You see, they would be espoused, and then he would come and take his wife. You understand this? And for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him his wife. That is a man that loved the Lord. You got to understand. His head was spinning, and then what he does is he says, Mary, we're engaged, but I've come to take you as my wife. And then look at character. Look at verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He took her as his wife, and he set aside the privileges of marriage, the physical privileges of marriage. He said, not until this special child is born. That's a man of character. I will tell you, will we honor and obey the Lord? I'm not here to lift up man. I'm just telling you this. God's going to do things in our lives that we do not like, though we should. We do not want, but how are we going to respond? Two more things I want you to see that's very important. Jesus is salvation. I want you to see this. Look at just verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who were his people? Right, the Bible tells us in John 1, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I'm so glad. And then he loved old-fashioned Gentiles, Cubans, you know. You love that. Hey, it's a Cuban amen, right? That's good. I love all the cultures of the world to say amen, right? Jesus saves. I want you to understand there's only salvation in one. Neither is there salvation in any other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus is the only way to salvation. He's the only one that'll save you from the wrath of God. He's the only one that'll save you from the justice that you deserve, because you and I in here, we're lawbreakers. It's Jesus. We ought to be kind. Here's what tolerance ought to be for Christians. You know what? I'm not worried about your sin. I'm going to love you. Lost people, I'm going to love you. I'm not here to beat you up about your sin. I'm here to tell you, you know you're a sinner, and the only way you're going to have your sins removed is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people say, wow, that's narrow, I'll say, you got any better way to get rid of your sin? They don't have an answer. You see, you can boldly proclaim it. It's that it's not your goodness. Your goodness will never remove your sins. All the religions of the world never have any solution. It's just be good. Told you about a Muslim guy that I met, I bought my car from. And I think you were with me, Muneeb, weren't you? Muneeb would fill in with a little Arabic every once in a while, and I'd be like, how do you say amen? Oh, there you go. That's still not amen, you know. Whatever, but, you know, so it was, you know, I was doing it in deaf, you know, keep it up. You know, it's amen in deaf, sign language, not deaf, deaf language. Sign language, not making it. So anyway, just, that wasn't in my notes. So I told this young man, I said, well, you think you're going to get to heaven by your works? He's in his 20s, super nice guy. And he goes, oh, no. He said, there's a golden scale when we stand before Allah. And he says, Allah puts your good works on one side and your bad works on the other side. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, you get to heaven. I said, isn't that what I just said? That's the solution. Do you understand that? You know how Islam's going to get you to heaven? It ain't. I love Muslims. I love that God's brought Muslims here. You know, Christian, our response to 9/11 ought to be, God, thank you for protecting me. And I want to witness to the Muslims so they know the true Christ and they don't fall into foolishness and think if they fly their planes into a building that they're going to go to heaven and be with 70 virgins. It's utter foolishness. I want to be kind about it. I don't look at the Muslims and say it's utter foolishness, but I want to tell them this. I'm going to say, how are you going to get rid of your sins? And I just simply tell them this. If I stood before a judge and I wronged you, do you think if I told that judge all of my goodness that he should let me go as long as my goodness outweighed my badness? They go, oh no, oh no. But you think that's what God's going to do? I'll say, God's not going to do that because He is just. I'll say, you want me to tell you what the Bible says? The Bible's the only one that has the solution, and it's that Jesus is God. You see, if Jesus isn't God, that He can't take your eternal punishment. And then for those that are excited, that's my fifth point. Jesus is God. When it said, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, God with us. I know I told you I wasn't going to teach anything new, but what I want you to be excited about is the world doesn't understand this. Jesus must be God. Jesus must be born of a virgin. Jesus had to be sinless. Because if He wasn't, none of us could be forgiven of our sins. I want you to understand that simple truth. I met a lady just a couple days ago. She told me, she said, I said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And she said, oh yes. I said, now if God would ask why she let you in, what would you tell Him? She said, well, it's Jesus. But then she started telling me about her baptism, about her good works. Your baptism won't get you to heaven. Your good works won't get you to heaven. It's only Jesus. When Jesus said, it is finished, you can't add to it. I want you to understand that. These simple truths. You see, if you just take these simple truths, most of the world's religions deny that Jesus is God. If Jesus isn't God, He can't take your eternal punishment. Only an eternal being can take your eternal punishment. Muslims, Hindus, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, all deny that Jesus is the eternal, everlasting Father from everlasting to everlasting. There's no beginning for Jesus. There's no end for Jesus. He came into time and He put on a body and He put on flesh so that you and I could be saved. Jesus, His name means salvation. I want you to, salvation is of the Lord. That's what Jesus means. I want you just to declare. See, you can go today. You can go to the restaurant today. Just be excited about the truth. You know, if you're not excited about it, you might not tell people about it, right? But I will tell you, ask people at lunch, say, do you know what the name Jesus means? That might be a little easier one. $10 tonight for anybody that gets the right answer, right? And I'll trust you. I'll trust you. Randall's paying. I didn't say I was paying. But just ask him what Jesus means. And then when you get to tell him, say, well, let me tell you. It means salvation. And then you could say this. You could go, hey, salvation. What in the world is that about? And see what they say. And then you can have a conversation with them. You know, you could say, oh, we tip well. I tell them that. I'll say, I'm up to 50 cents right now. They'll look at me. And I want you to know this. Are you excited about Jesus Christ? These are common truths to those that attend church regularly, but they're dramatic truths. I want you to understand, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. The world doesn't know it. Tell the world about Jesus. I would encourage you. Ask the world to have a Bible study with you. They just might say yes. You get people in the Word of God. I remember the first time I met Lewis and Rachel. Can I tell this story? Can I tell the story? First time they come to church. If you said no, I'm telling it anyway. So you, first time they come to church, right? They come to church and they came on a first Sunday of the month when we were having a lunch. And I said, has anybody ever... So the first... I mean, this is 30 seconds. 30 seconds that I meet Lewis and Rachel. Hey, how you doing? How'd you hear about us, right? And I later found out the rest of the truth. But how'd you hear about it? Oh, you're just in the neighborhood. This is, like, that's sentence two. And then Rachel goes, we're just living together. We're not married. And so I've got a better response. But what I said was, I can fix that if you want. But that wasn't the greatest response in the world. Because fixing that wouldn't help them at all spiritually. But I told him, I said, has anyone ever taught you the Bible? Anyone just ever sat down with you and just taught you the Bible so you know what the Bible says. And they go, no. I go, I'd love to do that. I come to your house. They started letting me have a Bible study with them. Started in John. Got to tell them that Jesus is God. Got to tell them that Jesus is salvation. We'd been meeting three or four months. You okay for me telling the rest of the story? It doesn't matter. So I go to their house. This is just, I just want to tell you this. Jesus saves. I go to their house. They began to understand some terminology. And I sat down and said, are you still lost? And Rachel, she said, well, yes, you know our situation. She's like, I told you right away. She didn't tell me that. And I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, we're living together, but we're not married. And I said, that's right. I said, and you think you got to fix that before God will save you? And she goes, yes. And I said, who told you that? I said, I know, the devil. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll do all the changing. I didn't say, and then you can't sleep together and you can't do this and you can't do this, because that's not what Christianity is about. The Lord changes things. 5 days later, they were gloriously saved. Did he change your life, Lewis? Isn't it wonderful? Jesus saves, doesn't he? I love this. And I don't think he's done using you to save others. I want you to be excited when you move to Cleveland. I want you to tell everybody, Jesus was sinless, and that's why he had to be born of a virgin. Jesus is God, and the only way he can take your eternal punishment is if he's the eternal God. Jesus is salvation. He will save you from your sins. There's nothing better, is there? I never want you to forget that, because I'm coming to Cleveland if you do. Jesus, he's salvation. Are you bored about that? Then let's tell the world. Let's pray. Father, you are way better than I.